Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. We're continuing right on in a message I began last week entitled, it's on the subject of healing. The subject of healing, if you will. It is a large subject. There's much involved. There's many complexities to it. And please understand, I am not at all attempting to be comprehensive, but just sharing some things from the Word of God that may help you understand or be aware of some things you weren't, because many people, Christians, are struggling to walk in divine health. They're struggling with an area of need, in a physical need, or perhaps even emotionally. You know, healing isn't just for the body, it's for the soul, the mind, the emotions. And so that's why I have felt led of the Lord to share this with you. And I'd like to take a moment as we begin these next several days to look at an experience in the life of one of the kings of Judah, and his reign covers like three chapters in the book of 2 Chronicles, beginning at chapter 14. His name was Asa, and I think there's some relevant lessons that we can learn from his life. It says after his father was buried. In that first verse of chapter 14, it says, Asa his son reigned in his stead, and the land was quiet for 10 years because Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, one of the few good kings of Judah. He took away the altars of the strange gods, the high places, break down the images, cut down the groves, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandments. And it says he built fenced cities, he increased the army, and then apparently it was 10 years later because the land was quiet 10 years. Verse 9, there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000 and 300 chariots and came unto Maresha. That's a million men. And Asa went out to battle against him, and he cried unto the Lord in prayer. He said, it's nothing with you, O Lord, to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go out against this multitude. Well, God gave a resounding victory. They had much spoil. Chapter 15, the Spirit of the Lord comes on Azariah, the son of Oded, the prophet, and he speaks to Asa and to all of Judah and Benjamin. He said, the Lord will, as long as you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Be strong, therefore, let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So what does Asa do? He takes down, when he hears these words, he gathers all Jerusalem together. They offer sacrifice, they enter into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all of their heart and with all their soul. And in fact, verse 11, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. He even removed his mother from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And so there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. In other words, 25 years later, there's another problem, but he reacts differently. Then instead of calling out to the Lord, he goes to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, and says, there's a league between us, as there was between my father, your father. And it says, Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king Asa, and basically, Baasha, king of Israel, departed from him. And then Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, and he says, because you've relied on the king of Syria, not relied on the Lord God, therefore the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hands. He reminds him about the victory he had with the Ethiopians, and he said, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars King Asa was very angry. He put the prophet in prison. And it says, in the 39th year of his reign, he was diseased in his feet until his disease became exceedingly great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians, and he died. And so what happened in this good king's life? He died because he didn't call on God. He trusted in the arm of flesh and died. Didn't listen to God's voice. And that voice came through the words of the prophet Hananiah. And he was in a rage because of this word that was given to him. He had a mind of his own, so to speak. He was going to do things his way, and he did it. Unlike when he was a new king, you know, with the first trouble, 10 years as he was reigning, when the Ethiopian came to him, they had great victory. And even when he was ill, when he had physical illness, he did not seek the Lord, but to his physicians. And why? Why would this happen? Because he was disobedient. Asa had prospered, he had been blessed, but in his prosperity, he turned to the flesh and trusted in the arm of flesh. When he did this, he died. And there are many people today who trust in the arm of flesh and are not healed. Now, let me make something very clear. God has given the medical profession, physicians, for mankind's benefit. And if you're under a doctor's care and you may be taking a prescription, that does not mean that your healing is going to be hindered because you are receiving medical assistance. God is able to heal you so that when you go back to your doctor, you won't have to take the prescription, you won't have to take that medicine, and it'll be testimony for the glory of God. And some people, you know, they move in presumption. They stand up and boast that they're going to throw away their medicine, claim their healing, but they're not healed. And I believe it's because they've had head faith and not heart faith, and they allowed pride and presumption to interfere, and thus they get their eyes off the healer. And, you know, just recently I had that experience back. Oh my goodness, now it's been 10 years. I lived in Duck Valley. I pastored at that historical church, and there was a sister who, I've kept in contact with them. She was told by the doctors she had pancreatic cancer and was told that it was so advanced they could do nothing for her and that to just put her house in order, she just had a few months to live. Well, as the result of fervent prayer, this woman was totally healed. She told me that she was going in for some further tests, and the doctor came in. She was just coming out from the sedation that they'd had her under when she was going through this test, that the doctor stared at her. He had these papers under his arm. He just stared at her, and he said, "We don't find any cancer." And so, beloved, God is a healer today. Not just in Bible times, he's a healer today. And she's so grateful to God. She wasn't fearful. She was ready to go home. Her children were saved, but she didn't want to leave her husband. And she just didn't want to leave him alone. And God granted her heart's desires, and she's fully, completely restored. So I want to encourage your heart, beloved, that don't be intimidated as far as seeking medical help, but know that your health and healing comes from the Lord. And this, I believe, this message that we can learn and take from Asa's life is that he didn't go to God first. He relied on what, who knows, in those 25 years that passed from that first victory, he became self-sufficient. So were other things operating that, you know, self-pride, even Hezekiah, to some extent, you know, when he showed everything he had to the emissaries from Babylon, that he was told, the prophet Isaiah was not especially thrilled with what he had done. And so God is gracious. He forgives our sins and our mistakes, but he wants us to trust him and to seek him first, because he's a God who loves us. And so, what can we say? There's many things why we don't experience healing. And as I said, I'm just sharing this not in any condemning way, but just to understand what the scriptures tell us. And some people to be frank, are not healed because of outright sin in their lives. Now, this number is probably very small, but it's still a truism. There are times when some Christians, those who claim to be Christians, are guilty of sin, and they then strongly persist in following that course of sin. This type of person has ignored all the warnings given by the word of the Lord, and they're in great danger. Where do we find this in Scripture? Well, in 1 Corinthians 5:1, we find Paul writing concerning flagrant sin in the Corinthian church. He wrote, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not such as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." We're talking about incest here. "And ye are puffed up." They weren't troubled by that. "And you have not rather mourned that he hath that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." And in verse 4, he says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together and in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, those are very strong words. And as we see, the good news is that one was restored. And then Paul in that second epistle is saying, restore such a one and welcome with open arms, because the work of conviction had been accomplished. And we should be that way with those who are flagrantly rebelling against the Lord. But this also perhaps is one reason why a person is not healed. Well, there's much more I would like to share with you, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I hope you will be able to join me. If not, you can always feel free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org, and click on the broadcast, and they are archived there for your convenience, where you can listen at any time. But in the moments that remain, as always, I invite you to write and share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, know that I will confirm receipt. I will pray. But if you would like a personal answer, a letter of blessing and encouragement, I invite you to share your mailing address. I thank you for listening. I love you, UCM family, for your faithfulness in prayer and in financial support. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.